mistaken identity, or due to conflicts with people in the AUC who essentially operate.
Democracy Now! Is going a few minutes overtime today, and Voyage will commence in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Civil conflict when the AUC decided that it needed to fight against the guerrillas, essentially protect the corporate and landowning interests in Colombia by using tactics that were even more brutal than the guerrillas' tactics. And the AUC got its start in some parts of the country, especially the banana growing region, through the financing of banana growers and cattle ranchers. So this was an organization that was essentially created in order to defend those agricultural interests. And while Chiquita claims that it itself was threatened by the AUC, they also admitted that essentially none of these payments were the result of threats by the AUC, and that they were not aware of any cases where the AUC targeted American companies for violence. That was not the people that the AUC were targeting. Hmm.
During the trial, Marco Simons, you were lead counsel and presented a handwritten memo from 2000 written by Chiquita's in-house counsel, Robert Thomas. The memo lays out how the AUC set up legal fronts to receive payments and argues the payments are necessary because the company, quote, can't get the same level of support from the military. The memo, part of the National Security Archive's Chiquita papers, and was obtained through FOIA requests. We only have 30 seconds, but the significance of this and why John Doe, the victims aren't named, and how they'll get the money.
Sure. So just to clarify, I wasn't lead counsel. This was a team effort, and our lead presentation was by Florida trial attorney Jack Scarola. But this was— You know, look, the evidence in this case was very clear that Chiquita was making these payments voluntarily because they believed they were getting protection from the AUC against the guerrillas, and they just didn't care about the human cost of the protection money that they were paying.
Well, we're going to leave it there, and I thank you so much for being with us. Marco Simons, General Counsel for Earth Rights International, the nonprofit part of the legal team that represented the plaintiffs in their historic case against Chiquita. That does it for our show. To see our past coverage over decades of Chiquita, you can go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feldstein, Augusto Shrufo-Dokadus, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another.
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and we acknowledge that we are broadcasting on Treaty 1 territory, the traditional and ancestral home of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Dakota, and the Anishinaabe peoples, and the homeland of the Red River Métis Nation. Might be a few minutes late, but I mean, Democracy Now! Deserves to be heard in its entirety, if that's possible, and today it was. Welcome to Voyage. Yes, that theme song is familiar. This is 3 hours of jazz, or just a little under 3 hours of jazz today, here at CKUW. My name is Keith Black, and as always, today will be another example of some of the very best in the world of jazz, both contemporary and, as always, a nod in the rearview mirror as well, so to speak. That will be my historical segment a little later on. But as always, it will be a lot of new stuff. Like the initial album today is brand new. Like it's it officially hits the I think it gets released tomorrow or the day after, but media can always have a few days, according to the publicist that I talked to. And that's the Mike Holliber Gotham Jazz Orchestra is going to start out today. Then the duet of trumpeter Natsuki Tamura and drummer Jim Black with a very interesting duet album following that. Following that, it's Winnipeg-based saxophonist John Gordon, who is U of M jazz program person with a very neat new album. And I'll talk about that a bit later. Then an album from, I guess, a couple years ago now that I'm playing. It's by Go Go Penguin, the British jazz trio. And I'll talk a little bit about that when I get there. And one of the reasons I'm playing it today is that they have a brand new album, which I'm going to sample next week, but I want to give some background today. Following that, it's trombonist Carl Silveira. From a year or two ago, but fairly contemporary. Then my historical segment, which goes back to the 70s, so get your tie-dye shirts ready and all. It's the Mahavishnu Orchestra, so you're going to get some jazz, Eastern Indian-influenced fusion music coming up in my historical segment. Following the Mahavishnu Orchestra is pianist Daniel Yankee, from the Yukon. Then drummer Dan Weiss, and if there is any time left over, I'll sneak in a little bit of symphonic jazz with the EST Symphonic album. I may not have time for that. We'll see what happens when I get down there. Well, back up to the top, the Mike Holliber Gotham Jazz Orchestra is clearly a large band. And I'm not even sure that I have all the. I guess I got a good number. I can't have. I don't have all of them, but names you might recognize: Jason Rigby on tenor, Ben Konu on alto, Charles Pillow, also on alto, has done a lot of work with her Maria Schneider Orchestra as well. Marvin Stamm on trumpet, Nick Felder on guitar. And there are the ensemble has a couple of guests which are sort of important in the in a lot of the music, and that's saxophonist Chris Potter and bassist John Patitucci, and a Brazilian vocalist named Jamil Stavieres. I probably really butchered that. Anyhow, the Gotham Jazz Orchestra. The album is called This Rock We're On, Imaginary Letters. And it has all sorts of influences in other days, other genres. And it really is very cool. I am going to play two tracks. The first one is called The Lay of the Land. The second one is called Dirt Lover's Almanac. Well, I could probably write that one for them. Anyhow, here is the Mike Holliber Gotham Jazz Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dirt Lover's Almanac. That was the name of that last track. That's the Mike Holleberg Gotham Jazz Orchestra with a brand new, and I mean just the Today or Tomorrow or the Day After album. And it's called This Rock We're On, Imaginary Letters. It's a really neat album and some very fine large ensemble writing there with Mike Holleberg. And as I say, it's a very interesting album with, and if you've got John Patitucci on bass and Chris Potter on saxophones adding to the big band, that's not a bad addition at all. And it's 10:30 already. Mercy, you're listening to Voyage on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name's Keith Black. Jazz between 10 and 1 here on Wednesdays, live from the studio, and streamed live at CKUW.ca, and archived there as well, so you can check on former shows if you wish. And if you are listening to this weeks from now or in some other part of the world, I'm just purely delighted that you're there. Well, moving back now to a duet setting from a large ensemble, there's a very interesting new album out with a trumpeter and composer Natsuki Tamura and drummer Jim Black. And they sort of, there's a little bit of augmentation electronically, as is the vogue these days. But this is a really interesting duet album. These guys work beautifully together. There is spontaneous and a lot of interactional improvisation going on here. And it is a very interesting album. Very much up to date. This is very current. Here is Natsuki Tamura on trumpet and drummer Jim Black. I'm going to play two tracks. The album has sort of City of the Morning, City of the Noon, whatever. I'm playing now City of Dusk and City of Night. Natsuki Tamura and Jim Black.
murder kitten.
There you go. Drummer Natsuki Tamura and drummer Jim Black there. I love the instrumental stuff. I must confess, I find the vocalese, it's just not pretty. Sounds like he needs a gravel in a real big hurry. But I guess it's up to you to interpret whether or not that communicates to you or not. I just find the vocalese a bit off-putting, if I'm being honest. But the stuff they do instrumentally is just fabulous. So there you go. A duet album called Nat Jim, which is the first part of both their names. And let's move along here and try something else. This is the local, well, a now local artist, thankfully, John Gordon, who is a prof at the U of M Jazz Studies program. Native New Yorker, actually, but we're all delighted that he's here. And he is, his latest album is called 7th Ave South, which refers to the location in Greenwich Village that was a street that was, or perhaps is still, lined with historical and wonderful jazz venues and drawing all sorts of people to that area, including when he was young, apparently, a very young John Gordon, who was influenced greatly by that area. And that's what he has called his latest album. Now, the personnel here are largely, if not entirely, present or former students at U of M, so it has a really strong local connection here. And Gordon plays alto and soprano, Jonathan Challoner on trumpet, Walter Smith on the third on tenor sax, Alan Ferber on trombone, John Ellis on bass clarinet, Jocelyn Gould on guitar, Will Bonas on piano, Julian Bradford bass, Fabio Radnelli on drums, and Aaron Propp on voice and a couple of tracks, and Johanna Mahoko on voice on at least one of the tracks. Very neat album with some great work here. These guys have played together well. They know each other, and it shows. A terrific local album here by John Gordon. I'm going to play two tracks. The first one is called Paradox. It's the slightly longer track, I think. Then Ed's Groove is the second one. Here is 7th Ave South. We'll be right back.
Thank you.